ahead and just continue that. On next Sunday, or the 23rd, I should say, the Diplomats will be with us at 10 a.m. And so invite a friend, invite a neighbor. It's going to be a great time of hopefully revival, really. Just refreshing ourselves and with godly music, Southern gospel music, the Diplomats, and a time of prayer. And, of course, we'll bring a word toward the end of the service on the 23rd. So I'll be praying for that service. And then on the 30th, we'll be kicking off Sunday school. So we're looking forward to that as well. And then the following Wednesday, which will be June the 2nd, that will be our in-person on Wednesday night worship service and a prayer meeting service. So remember that. And finishing up some last-minute things to put in place for our young people on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Wednesday night as well. So you be in prayer for us as we'll pray for you as we finish up these loose ends. But let's remember tonight, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Jeff and Sharon Hodges. This coming up Sunday night will be their son-in-law, Chris Fall, his memorial service at 8 p.m. And we'll give you details as to where that's at if you're interested in going. And again, that's this coming up Sunday night at 8 p.m. And this is the son-in-law of Jeff and Sharon Hodges, will be his memorial service. Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells, Reverend Larry Rich, Cassie Karanovich, Leonard Palmer. He went back this Monday for a follow-up, and everything went well, and he's going to be following up with an oncologist in Douglasville here in the next little while. So we're continuing to pray for Brother Leonard, Miss Dolores during this time. David and Glenda Henderson and their friend Claude, James and Shirley Townsend, the Children's Home, Brother Harold Dolph, Charlie Wilson, Marcia Turner, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, which they're home, and they are, of course, home on furlough, but I believe they are visiting around their supporting churches tonight and giving report and things along those lines. So let's continue to remember them and their traveling safety and that they'll stay well. Ceylon and Catherine Plemons, his boss and her mother, Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano. Miss Dawn did have foot surgery, and please remember her in your prayers. Very extensive foot surgery. Barbara Anderson, again, we had a visit with her last week, and she's doing some better. Having therapy sessions are back intact, but yet insurance will only provide so many sessions, and then they have to take some time off and then go back at it again. So remember Miss Barbara in your prayers, Miss Jenny Clanton, Randy, Diane Ely, her brother's cancer, Ed and Marianne Sandy. They've been out of town in Florida, and we're looking forward to them coming back soon. Gerald and Francis Carroll, Eddie and Joanne Rich, all the Rich family tonight. Let's pray for them. And all of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, and others. Let's remember James Tolan Brown, which is our Marine, and then a friend of ours, Kim Merritt, who's battling cancer, who belongs to Pleasant Hill. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive right into the word tonight, and we hope that you receive a blessing. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are, and for the things that you do, Lord. Father, I'll be the first to admit that I don't always understand what you're doing. Lord, I'll be the first to admit there is pain that's involved at times in the directions, Lord, that you lead your children. But Lord, we're reminded that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, Father, we delight in the fact that you do lead our way. Lord, you lead the way of your children. And God, we can trust you tonight because you're a good, good Father. And Lord, I pray for these on the prayer list. Lord, the person that needs you the most, God, we pray that you'd be with them. Be with everyone, but be with those, Lord, mentally who are struggling tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll remind them of your love, your care. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are sick, those who are recovering from surgery. Lord, that you would just bear them up, Lord, with wings as eagles, and help them, God, to rise above their problems, trusting in you. We love you tonight. We thank you for LC, and we thank you for the Bennett family. We pray that you'll continually be with them and allow them to grow closer and closer together as a family unit. And be with Brother LC as he goes to college. Lord, I pray that you'd give him great grace and give him the ability, Lord, to shun those things that are not good for him, because he is going into the college life, and we know that there are things there that are good for him and things that are not good for him. So we pray that you'll just help him, Lord. Walk the straight line, Father, with your power. And we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for our past Mother's Day service that we had and all of those that were in attendance. And we just continue to thank you for mothers. And now, Lord, I pray that as we move closer to Father's Day, we would keep our eye on our number one Father, our Heavenly Father, that's you, but also reflect on our earthly fathers. We love you tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you do. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Tonight, as you may see on your screen, we're going to be in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And this psalm has been on my heart for the past couple days. And I couldn't help to think about under what circumstances David was writing this psalm. Of course, it's a psalm of David, and David is writing out of experience here. He is writing the audience, he's writing the church, he's writing God's people, and he is telling us to not lose our cool. He says, don't lose your cool. And as you read this psalm in its entirety, you'll find out that David uses a lot of words and phrases and expressions in relation to being angry, to fretting, to not focusing on the enemy so much, but focusing on the Lord. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, the word "fret" there means to blaze. It means to get hot. It means to get angry. And so David here is saying to not focus on the evildoers. And they may seem like they're getting away with the evil that they're doing. And there may be a time where you may grow a little envious over how they're operating and how they're getting their things done and not getting any kind of pushback for it. But David says, don't be envious. David says, don't be angry. He said in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." He says that kind of life as an evildoer, the life that's out there in the world being worldly, those that are evildoers, he says it is a short-lived ride. He says it's short-lived. He says one moment they're here and one moment they're doing what they do. They think they're enjoying what they're enjoying. We live in a world tonight where they're drinking it up. They're drugging it up. They're doing everything they want to do. And they think there's no payment for that. Well, there's coming a day when there's going to be payment for all of the evil doing that this world is doing. They're going to have to give an account to God one day for what they're doing, unless they bow a knee now and give their heart and life to Jesus. "So they shall soon," the Bible says, "be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And so we see that that's how David opens this chapter, with some experience in the area of not losing your cool, not allowing yourself to get caught up in this world system so much that you get angry and you get hot and you vent, so to speak, in a very bad way. Look in verse number 8, if you would. He continues this idea. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He tells us to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, tonight there is a good kind of anger. There's a good anger. The Bible tells us to be ye angry and sin not. But the Bible also tells us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so there is a careful balance that we have to keep in order here when it comes to anger. But he tells us here to cease from anger. Forsake wrath. To fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He says in verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And so David is definitely talking about tonight this situation with the wicked, the world, and then the wise being the child of God. And so David is giving some experiential knowledge here. He says, don't be angry. He says, don't be wrathful. He says, leave those things alone. He says, leave anger alone. He says, don't fret, don't blaze, don't get hot when you see the things in this world taking place like they are. And I want to say, even here and now, in 2021, it is very easy to get angry when we look in the world and see how they're living and seeing the agenda that they're trying to push upon all of us, the church, and the rest of the world to adopt, and the way that they live their life, and the way that they have a good time, and the way that they have marriage, which is not marriage at all, and to adopt all of their beliefs and their worldliness. Well, it's easy to get angry tonight over that. It's easy to get angry tonight over politics and the way all that's been working out. And who's in the White House, who's not in the White House. It's easy to get angry tonight because of all of that protesting and all that equality stuff that's taking place. And, it's just easy if we're not careful to get caught up in all of that kind of stuff. Well, David says that there's coming a day when all of that is going to be mowed over by the mower, so to speak. He says again in verse number 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. So there's going to be a heavenly mower one day that's going to mow over all of that evilness. But that brings me to my point tonight. Until we're out of here, until we go to the grave or the rapture takes place, we're going to have to deal with this world tonight. We're going to have to deal with some of the harshness that takes place. We're going to have to learn how to deal with our emotions. And we're going to have to learn how to listen to the Lord intently to know what He wants us to do in the mix of all of this. And so tonight I want you to notice in verse number 3 down through verse number 7, there are five words that David uses during this time. Five words. Notice with me, he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Five words that David uses. And tonight I want to preach for a few moments on those five words. And that is five words we must deal with. Five words that we must deal with. these five words, we will come to an intersection in our Christian life from time to time where we will have to exercise these words. We've already talked about the world we're living in from David's day to our day. And David, out of experience and under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God, gives us these five words. There's at least five words that David had to exercise to get him to the place he needed to be and to keep him in God's will. And tonight I want to use those five words. Five words we must deal with in our Christian life. The first word is in verse number 3, and that is the word trust. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. When I read this verse, there is a certain song I think of, you probably are too, out of one of our hymn books, and that is, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And so tonight, that is the long and short of it. It is simply trusting and obeying. He tells us that when we trust and obey, no matter what the look is in the world we're living in, he says, if we trust in Jesus and do good, he says, we will dwell in the land and we will have our provisions met. He said, notice what he says again, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and obey. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In a crazy, crazy world that we're living in, it all boils down to trusting and obeying. And when we do those two simple things, the Lord promises through David here, as he writes and says, that we will dwell in the land and we will be fed. Now think about Psalm 23 and verse number 1 that David wrote as well. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he's saying there that I shall not be in want, and I shall not want anything else, and I'm totally satisfied and content with the good shepherd, because he meets my needs tonight. But notice that word trust. The word trust here, it means to place confidence in. It means to feel safe. It means to be careless. And so David says, trust in the Lord. Place your confidence in him. Feel safe in Jesus. Be careless in Jesus, because he will feed you. Be careless in the Lord. Place your confidence in him. Feel safe in him, because he will provide for you. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So that word trust, it means to place confidence in. To feel safe, it means to be careless. Let me give you an illustration to kind of show my point here. If you were an employer and you had two employees, and one of those employees called in half the time to work, and the other employee has never missed a day since they started work. One employee does half their job, the other employee does all their job and then some. And so you have these two employees and you're the employer. Well, what would happen if there was a need that came up in your company and all you had was two employees to choose from? Which one would you choose? It's obvious, isn't it? Well, you wouldn't choose the employee who came to work half the time. You wouldn't choose that employee who did half the work when they were at work. You wouldn't choose that employee who did bare minimum just to get by. No. But you would choose that employee who came to work all the time, who did all their work then some, that went the extra mile. Why is that? Because that person has proved that they are reliable. They have proved that you can place your confidence in their work ethic, And tonight I want to say, so is the Lord Jesus Christ, so much more than some kind of employee we're talking about. But He is one that can be trusted tonight. He is one that is always on time. He is one that is always on the job. He is one that is always going the extra mile. And so tonight we can trust in the Lord. And my question to you tonight is this. What is it in your life that God is wanting you to trust Him with? What is it that is taking place in your life right now that you can say, Brother Justin, I just don't know about this situation. You know, it could go either way. There's so much at stake right now in my life with this situation. I just don't know what could come of it. Or, Brother Justin, I have this physical element and I'm just worried to death what might happen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is the Lord your Savior? Is the Lord your Shepherd? Because if He is tonight, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can place total confidence in Jesus Christ because He's reliable. And David tonight, he is giving us the rundown on all of these worldly things that's taken place and his lesson that he learned with anger. And he said, listen, don't fret, don't get angry because of the things that are happening in this world and the things that may be happening in your life. But David says, other than that, trust in the Lord. He says He's reliable tonight. Tonight I wish that I could say that I have trusted the Lord with everything that's within me, every step of the way. But truth of the matter is, I haven't trusted the Lord with everything. Oh, listen, there's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of nights I have worried and a lot of days I have fretted and a lot of times that I can talk about that during times that I was filled with doubt and fear. But I look back on some of those times and I could say with an absolute surety that God sought me through every one of them. Were they painless? No. Did it feel like part of me was lost during the process? Yes. But God was faithful. And God has a way of taking us through the pain. And although we may feel like we're losing part of ourselves, God always matures us in those experiences. And we find out that we're much better on the outside of it when we've gone through it than we were when we were in it and before it. You see, we become to be a much better self when we go through the fire. And so tonight, trust in the Lord and do good. My word to you tonight is just trust and obey. Keep moving forward and doing the things you know you ought to do spiritually, reading your Bible and praying, wrestling with those doubts and fears until they're diminished and peace and joy fills your heart. Keep moving forward. Keep trusting and obeying. But then there's a second word, and that's in verse number 4. And that is the word delight. The word delight. He says in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That word delight tonight, it means to content thyself. It means to find satisfaction in. He says, delight thyself, content thyself in the Lord. Find your satisfaction in the Lord. But it also means to make pliable. It means to be soft. And so He says, be pliable in the Lord. Be soft in the Lord. Content thyself. Find your satisfaction in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. One of the most misquoted verses, I believe, is this verse. Because a lot of people believe if they would just satisfy that person who keeps
inviting them to church, and they go to church, then they can, you know, number one, appease them, but number two, well, they can ask for what they want to, and they can get it. A lot of people misinterpret this verse where they feel like, well, if I just delight myself in the Lord, if I just go to church a couple times and read my Bible and pray, you know, and show God that I've delighted in Him, then I can ask what I want and I can get it. Well, that's not a true statement. In fact, that's the farthest from the truth here. Because when somebody is truly delighting in the Lord, they are finding their contentment with Jesus. Remember what I said, Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David was fully satisfied with Jesus. His delight was in God. He knew that God was his provider, and so therefore he delighted in him. He contented himself with Christ, with the Lord. He made himself pliable or soft. In other words, being pliable or soft carries the same word as delight. And what it means is to not harden up on God. To not stiff-neck God is probably the better explanation of this word. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Be pliable. Be soft. In other words, it's kind of like this. He's the potter, and we're the clay. And in order for him to create what he wants to with us, we have to be soft and pliable. You know, that circumstance in life that is coming to your life and hit you blindsidedly, well, sometimes the most quickest reaction we can give is an angry reaction. But be pliable. Be soft at it. When we get a phone call from the doctor with a bad report, when something bad happens in the family that we don't like, or we disagree with something that happens in our world somehow, or at work or at school, and our first response is to get angry like David was talking about. He here says, don't do that. Don't stiffen up on God. He says, keep yourself pliable. Keep yourself moldable. Because there just might be something in that situation where God is trying to work something in that mold. He is trying to work something in a particular shape as He's shaping you. And it's taken that terrible situation in your life to do so. And the first reaction is, no, Lord, I don't deserve it. Or, no, Lord, this is painful. No, Lord, no. But if we just trust in Him and continue to do good and allow Him to be the potter and we continue to be the clay and we're making ourselves pliable, we are delighting in Him above everything else, that means we're giving God the green light to keep on molding, to keep on shaping. And the Bible says once we allow ourselves to be clay in His hands, pliable, then we can ask for what we want and we'll receive it. The difference is when we are in the hands of the potter and He is in control of our lives, the things that we ask for will be coming from Him. You see, there's a difference between asking things of God when you're not in His hand compared to asking things from God when you're in His hands. If we are the clay and He's the potter, we're delighting in Him and we're remaining pliable in Him, then we are remaining soft. We're allowing Him to conform us to the image of His Son. And we're in His hands. So when we ask something of Him, it will be in accordance to His will. Then He will answer us. He will say one of three things. He will say yes. Or He will say no. Or He will say not right now. Yes, no, Or maybe so. And so tonight we look at verse number 4 where he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. Content yourself with the Lord. In the midst of this crazy world, content. Find your satisfaction in him. Because I guarantee you one thing. We go to find satisfaction in this world, we won't ever see the end of it. It will be a chase in the things of this world. You want to know why? Because the things of this world are temporary. It will be a chase. There's never an end to a chase after money. There's never an end to chase after lust. There's never an end to chasing after these other things, because we're living in a world that is temporary. And we, being born again, we are made for an eternal world, a building that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens for us. That's why the things of this world do not satisfy the believer. And they don't satisfy the lost either, but they just won't admit it until they're ready to get saved. And so it tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord. This crazy world, let us lay ourselves in the hand of God tonight and trust his hand, that he knows how to guide and he knows how to conform us. There's a third word, and that is the word commit. Look at verse 5. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That word commit, it means to roll, or it means to roll oneself. Now, I got to thinking about this earlier. Commit. Roll. To roll oneself. I got to thinking about how when you go to roll something, it takes effort. You gotta push. And I actually got to think, it may be funny to some, but I got to think about bowling actually when it comes to rolling. To bowling. And you go and pick up that bowling ball, you know? You got that thing and you need to get it down there to hit those pins, and first thing you gotta do is pick it up. And sometimes those bowling balls are heavy. You pick that thing up. Then you go down to the lane and you let it go. I mean, you got to, first of all, you got to pick it up, then you got to let it go. And so that word commit, it means to roll. It means to roll oneself. Rolling takes effort, but also committing our way to the Lord takes effort. Committing a burden to the Lord takes effort. Committing a situation to the Lord takes effort. It's effort to even pick that thing up, to even want to deal with it. And then it takes effort to just get it on the Lord, to get it over to him. There's a song by the McCameys that calls, Roll Your Burden on the Lord. Man, what a song. Old song, but a great song. Talks about just rolling that burden upon the Lord by the McCameys. And so he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll thy way on him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Tonight we need to commit our ways unto the Lord. Commit our way. Roll it over onto Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, let us roll that morning on him. Lord, it's your morning. Afternoon, Lord, it's your afternoon. Nighttime, Lord, it's your night. Each and every Sunday we're in here. Lord, it's your Sunday. Lord, it's your Wednesday. Lord, this is your problem. Lord, this is your situation. It's draining the life out of me. Lord, it is making me crazy. Lord, it's making me angry. Lord, I take this burden, I roll it on you. I'm committing my way to you. And sometimes we have to visualize it like that. Roll in that burden. You roll it off of you and you roll it on him. And if you have to think about it like a bowling ball, do that. At God's bowling alley. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Look at verse number 7. There's a fourth word, and that is the word rest. We all like rest, don't we? We all like rest. We like resting, don't we? After a hard day, a long day's work, rest. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The word rest here, it means to be still. It means to be still. Now, those of us out there that like to stay busy and like to work, it's hard to actually rest, isn't it? It's hard to come to a place of standing still. Physically, the example is. In like manner, spiritually, it's hard to rest spiritually. When there's things on your mind and things on your heart, it's when you have a spiritual to-do list, it's hard to rest until everything is off that to-do list. A lot of times people, I got a to-do list physically within my days. You know, Thursday morning, tomorrow, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then after all of that gets done, rest. Well, sometimes there's one or two of those on that list that there is no way, no how, they're going to get done tomorrow or in any given day, anytime soon. It may take 3 or 4 months for one of these things on my Thursday to-do list to get done. And I think we're that way a lot of times spiritually. We have things on our to-do list spiritually. Lord, whenever this problem gets solved, I'll rest in You. Lord, whenever this situation gets accomplished, I'll rest in You. Lord, whenever this situation, when this person apologizes to me, when that person apologizes to me, when this is taken care of and when this is ironed out, then I'll rest. Well, I want to say something tonight. We will be, and I'm sure you have and I have too, some of the most spiritually drained people there is in this world, trying to accomplish your spiritual to-do list before you rest. Jesus says, or David through Jesus through Paul, Jesus through David, I'm sorry, he says, rest. He says, rest. That's the first thing on the to-do list, is rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The word rest, again, means to be still. It means to be dumb. It means to quiet self. Psalm chapter number 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God is all about us being still and being at rest and being at peace with ourselves, because when we are still and when we are at peace with ourselves and we are operating out of a heart and mind of peacefulness and rest, we are more capable of getting the job done than ever. But we like to get it all done ourselves and then rest in the Lord. The Lord's saying, rest in Me and then you'll get it done. Same thing with the story of Mary and Martha. We mentioned that last week. Rest in the Lord. Be still. So tonight the Lord is saying to some of you, to me, with whatever situation that you're facing, whatever's on your to-do list tomorrow, tonight, to just rest in Him and know that He's God. Watch Him work. Watch Him roll back the waters of adversity. Watch Him give you feet to walk on water with. Watch the Lord do things that are incomprehensible to the natural mind. Watch the Lord work. But we got to rest. We've got to trust. We've got to delight. We've got to commit. We've got to rest. But then lastly, there's the word wait. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That word wait here, it means to twist or whirl. I've mentioned it several times in my eagle dove sermon. But it means to twist, it means to whirl, it means to writhe in pain. It's like that word weight is through the idea of a contortionist. If you know what I mean, a contortionist is. It's one of these who can twist their arms and move all kinds of ways and just bend over backwards and tuck their head between their legs and smile at you. That crazy stuff. It means to be, to contort the body in pain. It's what the, it means to twist. It means to whirl. It means to writhe in pain. And it's all linked to that word weight. W-A-I-T. Because the reason why that this word is so painful is because really no matter the steps that you take, there are still at times going to be pain involved when you're waiting on God to do something. In the midst, David says, in this crooked and perverse world and all these things taking place, great wickedness and unrighteousness, he says, don't get angry. He says, don't be fretful and be and blaze and get hot within yourself. He says, just wait on the Lord. He says it'll be painful. It may be painful. He says you may feel like you're twisting with pain. He says, but this is so much better than the alternative. The alternative is to lash out in your anger and pain. The alternative to waiting on God is backsliding on God and trying to handle your situation yourself. The alternative is trying to make a door when there is no door. And the alternative to waiting on God is going back out to this world and trying to fulfill that emptiness with temporary things. That's the alternative. And that's not a good alternative. Because it's much better to wait on the Lord and experience that good pain as opposed to not waiting on the Lord and experiencing bad pain. Either way in life, there's going to be pain, church. But I would much rather wait on the Lord and experience a good kind of pain by waiting on Jesus than saying, what's the use? I'm just going to do things my way. I'm not waiting on Him anymore. I'm going to the world and experiencing bad pain. No. David says, don't do that. He says, don't get angry. He says, don't fret. He says, God's going to feed you. He said, just keep trusting and obeying Him. He said, the provision will be there at a certain time, at a certain place. Keep trusting and obeying. He said, keep delighting in the Lord because He's faithful. He does love you. Keep delighting yourself in the Lord. Keep rolling that burden on the Lord because He does care. Keep trying to rest in the Lord and be still and look for Him. Be still and know that I'm God. Keep waiting for that big moment. Keep waiting in your situation for that big moment where you see God in it. Or that little moment where you see a big God in it. It's either going to be a little moment with a big God or a big moment with a big God. Either way, there's going to be a big God in your moment. Be still and know. So there's times where we're going to have to rest. There's times where we're going to have to do all of these things. And all the while, the waiting is painful. But I want to say again, I would rather die as a Christian on the Christian battlefield than die as a backslider in the world any day. Both lives are going to be painful, but wouldn't you rather just trust the one who could help you and direct you and give you purpose from your pain as opposed to no pain, no purpose, just worldliness? He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. And you keep on reading, and all you'll find out is that the pathway of the just gets better and better, but the pathway of the unjust gets darker and darker. And listen, church, although we all will experience trials and tribulation, and we all may be tempted to get angry and fret because of this world system, let us just remember tonight who our chief and commander is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us deal with these five words: trust, delight, commit, rest, and wait. I'm sure we've all had to exercise these words in our life, our Christian life. But it seems like we're having to more frequently, aren't we? Over and over. Like the song says, He molds us and He makes us. Into His likeness, He fashions the clay. Let us tonight remain pliable, loose in His hands, because your pain today, He's working some kind of curvature, some kind of angle in your vessel, some kind of purpose. There's purpose for your pain tonight. I don't know exactly what it is, but God does. It's better to suffer, Peter says, for the will of God, than it is to suffer as an evildoer. So if the will of God be tonight that you suffer, guess what? You're suffering for the Lord's sake, and He has a purpose for it. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are. We praise You for what You do, Lord. I pray that You'll take our words and use them, Lord, to the heart that needs them the most. Holy Spirit, only You can do that. Thank you for this opportunity tonight. I pray that You'll just use the message for Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being with us tonight. We hope, we trust, we pray that the message was a help to somebody in some small or big way. And the good Lord willing, we'll be back on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, 10:15 choir practice. Remember that, choir members. And graduation Sunday. And then Sunday night, we'll have 5 p.m. Sunday night service. And so we're looking forward to that. Everybody have a blessed and safe rest of your week, and Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday. Thank you.